is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The governor of Georgia, twice elected, is named Brian Kemp. And in conversation with Selena Zito in Atlanta, Georgia, we learn about the second term already underway and the future of the Georgia Republican Party from Mr. Kemp's point of view. Selena, a very good day to you. Thank you very much. Your trip to Atlanta was fruitful. Brian Kemp is a charming man. His own metaphor, keep his powder dry. Wonderful. That's presidential contest talk. But what has he been doing since he got reelected? He was much in the news last year as finished, done, the end of Brian Kemp. Now he's finished the legislative session. What's he been up to? Good evening to you.
Good evening. You know, it's so interesting. In covering American politics, there's never really been, to me, someone who's been, their political obituary has been written so many times. And yet he survives all of the hasty obituaries. He won decidedly in November. Against Stacey Abrams, second time they ran against each other. First time was a very narrow win, very similar to Ron DeSantis when he won the first time. And then, you know, winning by 8 percentage points last November was pretty decisive. And he's focused right now on his home state, in particular in economic development. He has left for a trip. He was leaving right after our interview on Monday to Israel and then South Korea. And so his focus right now is economic development in his state. However, he's also not shied away from national politics. He was a keynote speaker at the Republican National Committee's event this past couple months. He's done some events across the state, across the country. And, you know, his objective is, he says, to get the party up into this decade, to get it more engaged with technology and more engaged in with young people.
The rhetoric directed at Georgia, not just Brian Kemp, but at Georgia, these last 2 years has been from both sides of the aisle, from all the major power players in both parties. That would be the former president. That would be the present president of the United States. That would be disdained by the national media, all directed at Georgia, but also Brian Kemp. Is there a secret to how he survived? Does he look upon it with a smile on his face?
Well, I think that Brian Kemp's secret sauce is that he has always remained true to himself and to his values. And he does not let the changing tides and forces impact how he conducts himself and how he reacts to, you know, controversies, whether it is President Trump trying to have him not certify the election in 2020, or Major League Baseball saying, hey, we're not going to hold the All-Star game here because your new voting law is racist. And he survived both of those. In fact, he survived last year with Trump running a primary candidate in the form of the former U.S. Senator David Perdue against him, and also with the Democrats dumping more money in Abrams' candidacy for governor in Georgia than any other state in the country. So he certainly has found a way to keep 2 feet on the ground. And I think the ultimate sort of karma with Major League Baseball's decision to pull out of the All-Star game in last year was that Atlanta Braves came back and won the World Series.
The governor says it's a 52-48 state. I agree with that. Certainly the last few elections have made it very clear. What does that mean for the Republican Party in Georgia, for the Republican Party in the South, which is always presumptively, since Barry Goldwater assumed it, all the states will remain red? Are they changing?
Well, Georgia, like many red states, there's concentrations in the urban areas of progressives and liberals. And so that's the challenge, not just in Georgia, but also in North Carolina. A lot of people have flocked, not native Georgians and not native North Carolinians, have flocked to these states in the past two decades, in particular the past 3 years under COVID, to escape bigger cities in Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles. However, they have a way of impacting the electoral politics. But Georgia is changing, but that doesn't mean that that change doesn't have breaks to it. So if you look at the statewide elections last year, Republicans were very, very successful in that Georgia governor's race, in the lieutenant governor's race, which is run separately, but also the row offices and the state legislature. Where weren't Republicans successful? Well, they weren't very successful in the U.S. Senate race. And I think that part of that puzzle is the impact of Donald Trump in that state.
I was especially impressed in your conversation with the governor that he voiced no enmity towards the former president, despite what we know to be a lot of opportunity to say negative things. The governor appears right now to want to keep his powder dry. What's he talking about, powder dry? Well, from what? Is this a Potomac theater of a Potomac fever in Atlanta?
Maybe. If you read the interview, you'll figure that out. But he's not giving away his hand. And so I wouldn't count anything out that Brian Kemp is considering doing,
right. But
he won't let you know what he is considering doing.
Let's go to Virginia. In Glen Allen, Virginia, a conversation with Glenn Youngkin, the new governor of Virginia, who strikingly has a similar style. These are two young men in what traditionally would be called south of the Mason-Dixon line, presenting themselves as focused on state business, the state legislature. Glenn Youngkin comes from via the modern finance world, but his success in Virginia was a total surprise to everyone who presumed Virginia was deeply blue. Does he have an explanation for it?
Virginia hasn't elected a statewide Republican elected official in 12 years, despite a lot of people claiming that Virginia is a purple state. It's not. It's a blue state. And it would take someone like Youngkin not to make it red, but to at least hint it towards a little bit of purple. I think that Youngkin's success, and I covered that race a lot in 2021, was based on, again, remaining authentic to himself, not getting caught up in national politics. He talked about issues that were important to Virginians, not what were important to the national mood. And most of that was on keeping the state safe, keeping the police funded, and addressing parents' concerns in education by keeping government out of education. And that spoke to voters. And it swung voters who had moved away from the Republican Party in the last dozen years since George W. Bush, and moved them back to at least sort of dating the Republican Party again, not marrying it, but they're dating it. And so he sees himself as having this ability to turn the state Senate back to the Republican majority. And I think that's his big goal for this year.
Yes, I could tell he was a Republican because he mentioned cutting taxes. I was surprised.
Yeah.
Because that's not popular when you're going for the center. You better have
better have
something backing it. Also, he's a very young man, and he and his wife are a very attractive political couple. The limitation in Virginia has always been it's a mandated one term. So the question is, run now because there will be no later, I presume. And yet, on the national scene, this is a fresh voice for the party. Does he look to the future, or is this, I'm focused on now, next week, and next month only.
I think what his future is first to get Virginia on solid economic ground, which he's well on the way of doing that, but also to have a hand in rebuilding the party. And much like Kemp, they're very focused on showing people that there is a pathway to earn suburban voters back to the Republican Party that doesn't require you to to be a populist in as much as you can be a pragmatist.
I've puzzled about the influence of the former president on both of these states, Virginia and Georgia. Virginia, it's pretty clear that the former President Trump is a negative when it comes to Virginia voters, the suburban voters I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the deep red voters. And in Georgia, I suppose that's the same thing. Is there an opinion that both men voice or do, or you can tell they're not voicing about the former president? We're looking at a presidential contest underway right now, and both of these states will be determinative in the primaries.
Well, I think that both of these men recognize that it takes a coalition to win an election. And whether you're running for president or whether you're running for governor or if you're just running for local offices. And part of building a coalition is finding purpose and an aspiration that draws different divergent groups of voters together, not over everything, but over something that is meaningful to community.
If I were filling a presidential ticket, I think you know where I'm going with this sentence. And you suggested much the same to both governors. I especially like Governor Youngkin saying, well, gee, I'm just a kid. I love that about him. And yeah. Governor Kemp, pretty much the same way. I'm just a kid from Georgia. That is the way to the vice presidency. They're aware of this. I'm presuming they were smiling when they talked to you.
Well, I mean, how can you not help but smile when you're talking to me, right? Yes, you're absolutely right. And both of them really possess this optimistic trait that has sort of been part of the modern Republican attitude since Ronald Reagan. And they both embody that. And I think that's what has drawn voters to them. That wouldn't likely or normally vote Republican. But people are drawn to people who are aspirational, that want to make people part of something bigger than themselves. And I think both men embody that.
Selena Zito of the Washington Examiner, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the New York Post. We turn to another Southern governor, much in the news, a fellow from Florida. I'm John Batchelor.